Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting the Productivity Show. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/TPS. Start living a better life today. Thanks also to Clear for supporting the Productivity Show. Clear is a secure identity platform that provides a smooth and quick experience at airports, stadiums, concert halls, and other venues nationwide. For a limited time, get your first 2 months of Clear for free by going to clearme.com/TPS2021 and use the promo code TPS2021. Thanks also to Gusto for supporting the Productivity Show. Gusto offers modern, easy payroll and benefits to small businesses across the country. They were even named Best Online Payroll by PC Mag. Get 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/TPS.
Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. At Asian Efficiency, we're known for the T framework, which is our productivity method. It stands for time, energy, and attention, which are ultimately the three pillars of productivity. Today's episode will help you maximize time, the first pillar in our framework. On the Productivity Show, we've talked a lot about weekly planning and quarterly planning, but not so much about monthly planning. When you incorporate monthly planning into your life, you're setting yourself up for a productive month where you get the important things done, and you'll be able to meet all your deadlines. We've developed our own process for how we plan our upcoming month for both on a company level and on a personal level. You're about to learn how you can plan the upcoming month for maximum productivity and some mistakes that you want to avoid that prevent you from overworking. If that sounds interesting to you, I know you're going to love today's episode. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/349. And now, on with the show. Hello, everybody. This is Tam Pham, founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life. And today, I have with me Brooks Duncan, the COO of Asian Efficiency. How are you today, bud?
I'm great. How's it going over there in Austin?
You know, summer is coming. I mean, it's technically spring, but it feels like summer already because it's 30 Celsius every day. So can't really complain. But we're not here to talk about the weather. We're here to talk about planning your month, or how to have a efficient and effective monthly planning process in place. And before we start diving in here, one of the things we always like to share is some of our favorite resources as of lately, and I have three of them here for you today. So the first one is a focus music service, if you may call it, and that is called Focus at Will. So this is a really popular focus music service that I've been using for many years. This is actually the first one I started using back, I want to say 2015 or 2016. So it's been about 5-6 years now. And one of the things that I really like about this service is that whenever you play music, it will almost instantly make you more focused. And if you have a hard time concentrating, you definitely want to check out Focus at Will. The second resource I have for you here today is actually a protein bar. I've been trying many different brands over the years, and my new favorite one is called Fit Crunch Protein Bars. And so it's created by Chef Robert Irvine, I think is his name. And you can get them on Amazon, so we'll link to them in the show notes here. But those are by far my favorite protein bars that I'm consuming right now. And the flavor that I like is the peanut butter one. So if you're a peanut butter fan, definitely check out the Fit Crunch peanut butter protein bars. And then the third one, this is not going to be a cheap water filter, but the best water filter I've come across is called the Berkey water filter. So it's spelled B-E-R-K-E-Y. So it's like a chrome looking gravity based water filter. I've seen it in many places around Austin, and anytime I taste their water of the places I frequent that have the Berkey filter, I just go, wow, this water tastes like gold. It's like so smooth. It's so good. And I made the decision to get my own. And so I end up getting the Royal size, which is about 3 gallons or 11 liters. And it's by far the best tasting water I've ever had. So I'm really enjoying my purchase there. So those are the three resources that we recommend to you today. And we'll have links to all of them in the show notes. So don't worry if you missed anything. Just go to theproductivityshow.com/349 or just swipe and you'll see the links in there as well.
All right. So thank you for sharing those, Tan. Those all sound really great. I'll have to see which of those is available in Canada because I'm intrigued by all of them. But we are going to be talking about doing a monthly plan, like you said earlier. And it's so funny that we've never actually talked about this on the podcast before. And maybe you've experienced this. You get to the end of the month and you just think, like, what did I actually do this month? I was just thinking that because the end of the month just rolled over recently and I was like, what did I actually do? So if you found that you look back and you spend most of your time putting out fires, this episode will hopefully help you with that. Maybe you're new getting into productivity now. We're partway through the year. We're almost halfway through the year and you know that you should plan out your month. You hear people talking about monthly planning and you're not sure where to start. We're going to be talking about that too. And maybe you have spent a lot of time like planning your week and maybe you do quarterly planning, but there's something missing in between them. That jump from quarterly plan to weekly plan maybe is a little too much for you or you see a gap there. Well, we're going to help you get everything done in the time that you have by making this monthly plan. Now, one thing we always like to do is shout out to our next week's episode. So before we get into the monthly planning, just want to say that next week we're going to be talking about how to create an evening routine. So this is something that will help you execute on your plans. So stay tuned next week for talking about evening routines, ours, and creating new ones. So Tan, here's a question for you. Do you need to plan your month? Like we've gone all this time talking about annual plans. You know, we talked about that in TPS 328. We've talked about quarterly plans a lot on the podcast, like TPS 269 and TPS 200. And we've talked about weekly plans many times, TPS 293 as a latest example. So is there a reason why we haven't talked about monthly plans yet? Is it even something helpful to do?
Well, is it required? No. Is it helpful? Absolutely. So when you think about the T framework, which is kind of our productivity methodology, which stands for time, energy, and attention, one of the biggest struggles that people have is time. Time is one of those currencies that people want more of, but oftentimes don't have enough of. And when you are someone who's not planning enough, oftentimes you run into challenges doing things last minute. You run into emergencies, you run into stuff that you didn't account for, and all of a sudden you have to do all these different things, you end up working more, and you never end up actually working towards your goals or getting the stuff done that needed to be done, right? And a lot of that can be circumvented or prevented when you put a plan in place, or at least have a planning process. So that's why we always talk about having an annual plan, because it kind of gives you a direction of where you should focus and go towards. That's why we always talk about a quarterly plan, which kind of gives a sense of urgency to take action on your goals, because now that you know what your direction is, having a quarterly plan gives you a sense of urgency to say, hey, I need to take action right now. Otherwise, if I wait 2, 3, 4, or 5 months and then take action, it will probably never happen. And then when we talk about weekly planning, that's great for getting kind of like tactical and making sure that there's something concrete that you can get done within the next 5 to 7 days, right? But the monthly plan is really helpful to make major progress without feeling like you're overburdening yourself or having a sense of too much urgency, if that makes sense. Because when you have a quarterly plan, you have a sense of urgency. And with the weekly plan, there's a lot of sense of urgency, right, to do stuff. Whereas on a monthly plan, you kind of have like the in-between, which is kind of nice because now you can kind of break stuff down from the quarterly plan to a monthly theme and say, hey, if I want to lose weight this quarter, let's make sure that I, in month one, accomplish this milestone, and then month two, hopefully this one, and month three, by the end of the quarter, accomplish a certain number or milestone there as well. And so monthly planning is really helpful if you have a quarterly goal. Is it required? No, but it's really helpful if you do have one, because now you can use every month as an iteration to kind of get to your quarterly goal and make adjustments as needed, right? You can do it with a weekly plan as well, but oftentimes we need to zoom out a little bit further to make sure that we're making progress. Because sometimes you have to do stuff that take more than a week to do, right? And this is where the monthly plan is really powerful.
All right, so we are going to go through three tips for helping you create your monthly plan, and we'll talk about some examples that have worked well for us and other people in the community. And so we're going to start with tip number one, and that is to review your quarterly goal. Tan talked about how there's that link between quarterly goals and weekly goals. Well, jumping in the month, kind of in the middle, can really, really help you stay on track of your quarterly goals, but also help you evaluate them as well. This episode is going to come out in April, which is the start of a new quarter if you follow the traditional quarterly patterns. So probably you're not going to need to adjust your quarterly goal for now because you probably just made it. But what about in May? What about in June? What about in some future month? Does what you thought would be at the beginning of the quarter, does it still apply? Are there any changes that you need to make? Like we said, the question is, like Tan said, what part of your quarterly goal should you be working on this month? What is going to help you get to that quarterly goal? Because sometimes if you're going through and you make a goal at the start of the quarter and you're all excited about it, well, guess what? A month later, 2 months later, things might have changed, or you find yourself working towards a goal that doesn't necessarily apply anymore. This actually happened to me recently where I had a goal for a quarter to do a development course. So you may or may not know this, but in a previous life, I was a software developer, and part of me still misses that as a career. I miss doing development. So I thought to myself, I'm not going to go back to being a developer, but I thought to myself, maybe I'll do some courses, get updated on my skills just to keep my feet wet in that world, just because I did enjoy it. So I made that goal and I started doing courses on Code Academy or whatever. But then I realized, which was great at the start of the quarter, but then later on, a month or two later, I realized why? There's other more valuable things I could be doing with my time. It was enjoyable, but I was making it a priority when it really didn't make a lot of sense because there was other things I could be doing. And I could always come back to this later. So I decided after 1 month, I decided that I was going to cut this goal and switch to something else. So that's an example of how, I could have kept on going and it would have been fine. But I think switching to other things made a lot more sense. So yeah, you don't want to waste a whole 90 days doing something that doesn't make sense, and you want clarity on what you should be doing every single month. How about you, Tan? How have you worked this link between quarterly goals and monthly goals?
Every month is a new opportunity, essentially, to make progress on your goals. So when I look at my quarterly goals, I always like to think about, okay, what's something that I can accomplish over the next 30 days that will get me closer to that? And oftentimes when we look 1 month ahead of time, we start to see some things that are not possible because we might have other engagements or commitments that need to be taken care of, right? So I want to be ahead and know what they are. And so when I'm thinking about my quarterly goals, or even if you're working on a 6 month period or even on an annual basis, you can make significant progress over the next 30 days, right? And you just have to figure out what is that going to look like for me, which we're going to be talking about next. But I'm always thinking about what is the biggest domino that I can push this month? That's one thought that I always ask myself is, what is the biggest domino that I can push myself, that if I push this domino and it falls over, all the other stones fall as well? And oftentimes it takes the most energy to put the biggest domino first and make it topple over. So what is that one thing that I need to do this month that will make everything else topple over or make it easier or make progress or there's significant amounts of results that I can showcase, right? And so every month is a new opportunity to make significant progress on your goals. And that's anytime when I'm thinking about starting a new month, I'm always thinking about that. What is something that I can do this month? And that always ties back to the goal. And since I do quarterly goals, I always like to make sure it's front and center and know exactly what I'm trying to do this quarter so that I can think about what's the strategy that I have to execute for the next 30 days that will get me closer to my goal, right? So like if my goal is to save $10,000 or to have that in my savings account, and I'm like, and I know the gap, right? It might be like $3,000. What can I do over the next 30 days that will close that gap, right? or if it's a weight loss example, or you're launching a new business, or you're launching a new website, or whatever creative project you have, like, what's the gap and what can I do over the next 30 days to close that? And it's always related to the goal. I don't just pick random stuff that I want to do. Usually it's related to a goal, because I know once I've set that goal, it's something that's meaningful to me. And what, like what you said, Brooks, you kind of use it as well as an introspection process to say, hey, is this actually still relevant for me?
Yeah, in the live stream, as we record these episodes, Alice, who's in the live stream, makes a great point, which is sometimes when you make a goal for a longer period of time, like a quarter, you have assumptions that don't turn out to be true. So that is a perfect example of if you're making your quarterly goal based on something happening, you think something's going to happen throughout the quarter and then that changes, that's a great opportunity during our monthly planning to see, are those assumptions still true? If not, maybe it's time to adjust. And speaking of the live stream, I want to give a shout out to the members of our special premium version of the Productivity Show called TPS Plus, which you can learn more about at theproductivityshow.com/plus. This is a special version of the podcast where you get it a week early. There's no ads. And if you are a annual member, you get a special one tweak a week t-shirt, which I know has been really, really popular with our TPS Plus members. I wear mine all the time as well. So go to theproductivityshow.com/plus and check out the TPS Plus. It's proved to be really, really popular. And we really thank our members for supporting the show. This episode is all about creating your monthly plan. So this month, what is interfering with your happiness? Or maybe what is preventing you from achieving your goals? Well, this is the month to do something about it. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's convenient and you can connect in a safe and private online environment. You can start communicating in under 48 hours and there's no uncomfortable waiting room or long commute required. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide, and this can be really helpful because their therapists have a broad range of expertise. You might not even have a local counsel that meets your needs, but with BetterHelp, that's not a problem because they're accessible everywhere. BetterHelp is convenient, professional, and affordable. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, whatever you're most comfortable with. And you can send a message to your counselor anytime. Just having someone to talk to can make all the difference, so start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/TPS. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/TPS for 10% off your first month. Thanks so much to Clear for supporting the Productivity Show. We're really, really excited. Clear is a secure identity platform that creates quick and easy journeys at airports and all sorts of venues. Clear replaces the need for physical ID cards. You are your ID. You just need to do a brief one-time enrollment with your government-issued ID, and then you can use your face or eyes for safer, touchless entry. Signing up is easy. Pro tip, create your account online before you go to the airport. Then once you get there, the Clear Ambassador will help you finish the process. Then you can use Clear right away. Now, a lot of people think of Clear just for airports. We've all seen it there, and it's awesome there. But once you become a member, you can use it for faster, touchless, seamless entry across Clear's network of stadiums, arenas, concert spaces, restaurants, and so much more. Now, anyone who has traveled with a family knows it can be a massive hassle. I can attest to that. So an awesome feature of Clear is their family plans. You can add 3 adult family members at a discounted rate, and kids under 18 are free. Now, Tan in particular is a huge Clear fan. I'm sure you'll hear from him in future episodes what he likes about it. But every time he travels, he always tells me how much he loves Clear for just making everything at the airport easier. Now that more and more Americans are able to travel, it's the perfect time to join Tan and the other 5.5 million people already using Clear. For a limited time, get your first 2 months of Clear for free by going to clearme.com/TPS2021 and use the promo code TPS2021. That's clearme.com/TPS2021 with promo code TPS2021 for your first 2 months of Clear free for a limited time. If you have a business, I'm sure you know that small business owners wear a lot of hats. And some of those hats are totally great. But some, like filing taxes and running payroll, for example, not so fun. Well, now you can tame the chaos of payroll, benefits, and HR with Gusto. We've teamed up with Gusto, and they're offering you 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/TPS. Gusto is easy online payroll, benefits, and HR built for modern small businesses. There is expert HR support, and Gusto automatically files and pays all state, local, and federal payroll taxes. So that's one less thing you need to do. Well, I guess actually that's three less things you need to do, so that's even better. You can sign, store, and organize employee documents all securely online, and you can choose from hundreds of benefit plans to fit nearly any budget. So get 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/TPS. Go ahead and give it a try at gusto.com/TPS. All right, that is tip number one, to review your quarterly goals and reevaluate as necessary. And tip number two is to identify your rocks for the month. So what do we mean by rocks? These are things that are going on in this upcoming month. So, and it doesn't need to be detailed. You don't need to like go down to the day or the hour level or anything like that. In fact, as we're going to talk about, that will often lead you into trouble with your planning. So it can be just high level at this point. But what do you have going on this month? Are there your quarterly goals from that we just talked about in step one? Do you know when you're going to be working on them throughout the month, ideally? Do you have vacations coming up? Do you have obligations? Do you have other projects you're working on? Do you have learning that you want to do? Assuming you don't drop that learning like I did. What do you have going on in this month? And what you want to do is you want to plan out the weeks and the times that you're going to be doing them. You can go to the day level if you want. I find that sometimes going that level just means things are going to end up having to move around, which is actually fine. It's expected. But the most important thing is to know generally what will impact each week when you do your weekly planning, so that when you go to your weekly planning later, you kind of know the big rocks of what you should be working on this week. And when it's appropriate, put that on your calendar. We have a little mini course called Calendar Captain that talks about this, that talks about working on setting up your calendar and making time for these different things and how you do that. So we'll link to that in the show notes. But the key is to get these on either your main calendar or a planning calendar, whatever makes sense to you, these big rocks, so that when you're planning your week, you know what it is you need to work around it. Another thing that you can do is look back at the last month and see what are some things that you had planned to do last month that you had to carry over this month. Sometimes we beat ourselves up because the plan we made last month didn't quite work out. No need to beat yourself up. It's totally normal. But what you want to do is look back and say, is there anything I need to move forward to this month? And if so, when am I going to do that? What's your process for this, Tan, when you're the kind of like more tactical aspect of planning out your month? What do you do here?
So I actually have a Evernote template that I've created for myself, where it's called a monthly planning template. And I'll describe it right here. So if you're listening right now, you'll get the basic gist of it. And it incorporates everything that you just mentioned. So when I'm planning my month, right, so it's like the start of a new month, usually I like to do it on the Sunday. So if it's like the Sunday before the new month starts, I'll do it then. And I'll create a Evernote template, or I'll open it up, and then it has like different sections in it. So it has like five things on there. So one is called anchor events. Then it has three outcomes for AE, three outcomes for personal, learning, and stop doing. So those are the five things that I'm focusing on every single month, right? So the first one is anchor events. This is something I actually learned from my friend Charles Noh, who's been on the podcast before. And I'll link to his blog. He has lots of great articles on productivity as well. But one of the things he was telling me is when he's planning his month, he will look at all the events that he has coming up that are at least one day in time commitments. So for example, you might go to a wedding, right? And it might be like, you might be gone from Friday till Sunday for a wedding, or you might go to a conference, or you might go on vacation, or there's a community volunteering event that you're, you know, taking time off for. Could be anything, right? So you want to list those down at the top of your page. So you kind of know, okay, I have like two weddings coming up this month and a community event that's taking place for a whole day. Once you kind of have that in place, you kind of know what's actually realistic for this month, because that is time away that you would normally have available to focus on, you know, stuff for your work or for your career or for your personal life, right? And if we don't take into account what we are already committed to, we're shooting ourselves in the foot by overcommitting oftentimes to stuff that we want to do without actually being realistic about it, right? So if I have a wedding every single week for the upcoming month, chances are I have no time for myself. And so chances are that, you know, if I'm trying to do some major project or something and I'm trying to launch it that month, it's just not really realistic. So I want to be on top of that. So I always like to list the anchor events at the top of my page so I kind of know what it is that is coming up, so I kind of know what I can plan for. Then the second part is the three outcomes for Asian efficiency. So I'll write down like three things I want to have accomplished for Asian efficiency, because that's like, quote unquote, my work, my career, right? So there could be things like, oh, I want to make sure we release this type of content, or that we release a new podcast episode on this topic, or a particular course gets launched, or a certain financial goal, or whatever, right? So I'm looking for three outcomes. And outcomes is really the key word here. I'm not writing down tasks, like things that need to be done. I'm writing for three outcomes. So a task would be to file taxes, right? But an outcome would be to have taxes filed. So like, notice the subtle difference there. I'm always looking for an outcome. So once the outcome is done, I can mark it off and now it's done, right? And I do the same thing for my personal life. So I have three outcomes for AE and then I have three outcomes for my personal life. And then the fourth one is learning. So what is one thing that I want to learn this month? So every month, I always use that as an opportunity to kind of like, quote unquote, theme the month around a particular topic that I want to learn. So if I have, for example, last month, it was personal finances. So I was learning about personal finances last month, and that was like a major theme. So I would like listen to podcasts for that particular month on that particular topic. I would get a book on that particular topic. And then any other material or topic of discussion with my friends would always be about personal finance. So every time I went out for dinner, or I'm having a Zoom call with someone or whatever, and we're just talking about stuff, I would always bring up this topic of conversation because that's the thing I'm interested in right now and learning more about. So anytime I was talking to someone like Charles, I would say, hey, this month I'm focusing on personal finance. Like, what are some of your personal finance tips? And just through organic conversations, because it's my main focus for this particular month, I would learn a lot of cool things that I wouldn't learn in books or podcasts or whatever, right? And then the fifth thing here on the list is to stop doing. So this is kind of like what we learn at Asian Efficiency as part of the scaling up framework, is like we always ask ourselves, what is something we should start doing, right? What is something we should keep doing? What is something that we should stop doing? And so I kind of took that idea and I said, how do I apply this to my personal life? So every single month, I would write down one or two things that I should stop doing because I know these are not good things for me, or it doesn't help me with my particular goals. So for example, one month I had a goal about saving money. So one of the things I had to stop doing was buying clothes. Not because I didn't need them, but I had tend to have a tendency to buy or spend more on clothing than I really need. And so one of the things I was reminding myself of every single few days was like, when I was looking at this, is to stop buying clothes. And so when I put that down for myself, it was really easy to stop buying clothes because I told myself not to do that this month. And it was completely optional, right? I wouldn't ever do that for something like, you know, life essential, like stop drinking water or something like that. But if I wanted to do, for example, in January, I did a sober January. So on my list was stop drinking alcohol for the whole month of January. That was like my thing then, right? So if I tell myself to stop doing one thing, it's actually relatively easy, but I just need to remind myself to do that and check in with myself every few days, and knowing that it's not going to be forever. It's only for 30 days. And again, you can make a lot of progress in 30 days. So that's kind of like my template.
Yeah. If you take anything away from this episode, don't stop drinking water. Don't make that a goal for yourself. So for me, one thing that has really, really helped me with this monthly process is this looking ahead, seeing what kind of big rocks I have going on. Because sometimes, and I think we've all been here, is sometimes I agree to do something like, say, speaking at an event or, you know, doing a virtual thing. I agree to it months and months in advance. And when you're looking that far ahead, you say, sure, no problem. I'd be happy to do it. But then that time comes. And by doing this process, by looking for the big rocks ahead of time, these things don't sneak up on you. You realize, oh, this month is when this thing that I agreed to 4 months ago is actually happening. I better make sure that I have runway to do that and that it doesn't impact or it doesn't mess up anything else I need to do. So by looking ahead and putting that down, you avoid these kind of nasty surprises that can otherwise sneak up on you. And one thing I want to mention is I'm not personally a bullet journal person, but for some reason I really like the book Bullet Journal by Ryder Carroll. He's the creator of it. And one thing I really like is when he talks about what he calls the monthly migration, which is a bullet journal thing where you take what you are doing, what was left undone in the last month, and moving it forward. And like I said, a lot of times we can beat ourselves up about this. We feel unproductive because things didn't happen the way that we wanted them to happen. And I like what he says. He says, this is totally normal. Transform any guilt into curiosity by asking yourself why each task might still be incomplete. Does it matter? Is it vital? What would happen if you didn't do it? So this is changing from guilt to curiosity. Then you can go through, like we talked about earlier in an earlier episode about the three times rule. If you notice this happening, if you're curious about it and this happened, if you find yourself moving it forward a couple months, you realize, okay, maybe there's something I should do to take care of that. And you kind of pair it with the three times rule. And like you were talking about, pair it with stopping to do things. All right, so that is tip number two, which is identify your rocks for the month. So we'll move into our final tip for doing your monthly planning, and that is to not overplan. So don't overplan. And we find that this is the biggest stumbling block people have with monthly planning, especially people who are into productivity. You know, we want to sort things out. We want to be on top of things. We want to know what's happening. And we try to maximize our productivity by having the month totally planned out. But what we found is that it's very difficult to plan that far out. You just don't know what's going to happen in 3 weeks from now. Like Alice said with quarterly, you start the month with assumptions and those assumptions may not work out. Does that mean it's not worth planning? No. Of course you want to have some structure to your month. You want to put those big rocks like we said, but you want to leave yourself room to readjust. You don't want to plan out every single day of the month and really get super, super granular, because chances are it's not going to work out. So keep it high level rocks, but leave yourself lots of room to readjust. And some people have things like a rule, like I'm only going to commit to a maximum of three things, like you said, your outcomes, or five things, you know, whatever it is for you. Try to have some guardrails around the things that you're going to do in a month, because if we try to pack in too much, it very often doesn't work out.
Yeah, when I talk about the three things I want to accomplish for AE for the month and the three things for my personal life, that's something I've kind of learned over time too, is not to marry to that idea. So if I know, for example, that I have a wedding every single week for the upcoming month, chances are I'm not going to get all three things done for AE and three things for my personal life. I might have to scale down to just one thing because I'm just so busy doing these other things here, right? And so that's a way for me to kind of like not overplan. And in a perfect world, if I had no major commitments for the upcoming month, I could get three things done for my personal life and three things for Asian efficiency. And that's always the place I like to start off with. But oftentimes I will start cutting things off based on whatever is going on. And so I like the example that you gave earlier, Brooks, is we don't want to have things sneak up on us. And that's really the value of planning in general, is that things just don't sneak up on you. And you really try to maximize your time as much as possible this way, right? And when we're talking about the T framework, time, energy, and attention, time is the currency that most of us want the most. But if you're not actively spending, quote unquote, attention on that, right, on your time, it's really easy to get things snuck up on you. And then you go, oh my gosh, I didn't see this coming, or I wasn't anticipating this, or whatever. when oftentimes if we just spend maybe 30 to 45 minutes planning a month, a lot of times those things will come up and you'll be able to account for those things and then not be surprised by when it does happen, right? And we avoid disappointments, negative self-talk, beating ourselves up because we might say, hey, this month I want to do X, Y, and Z, when it was totally unrealistic because you had a commitment every single weekend to do something else, right? And so it's always a good starting point for me to say, hey, I'm going to aim for 3, but based on how much I have committed to, like my anchor events, like I mentioned earlier, I'll have to readjust to that. So think about that as well when you're planning your month next, is if you have a lot of stuff coming up, try to aim for like one major thing that particular month. And if that one major thing gets done, guess what? You had a really good month. You had a really productive month. And imagine doing that 12 times in a year. That's a great year, right? So imagine doing that for every single month. That's going to be an awesome year that you're going to have behind you. And so even just one major thing is going to be awesome. And if you're a little bit more advanced, you can go for 3. But I always like to start off with 3 and then scale down as needed, because I'm a little bit of an ambitious person in that sense.
All right. So our 3 tips for creating your monthly plan. Number 1, review your quarterly goals. Number 2, identify your rocks for the month. Number 3, don't overplan. Tan, if somebody wants to get started on creating their monthly plan for this upcoming month, where should they start? What's the place they should start?
What I would recommend that you do now is set aside 30 minutes sometime this week on your calendar for the upcoming month. It could be even mid-month, like don't worry about the timing of it. Just put away 30 minutes for this and take some of the things that we talked about today and then put it into action right away for your upcoming month. So again, block off 30 minutes somewhere on your calendar to do your monthly planning for the upcoming month. And if there's one thing to take away from this, I would say focus on just getting one major initiative done for the upcoming month. And if you like that and you want to have links to everything that we mentioned in the show notes, you can go to theproductivityshow.com/349. And next week, we're going to be talking about how to create an evening routine. So if you want to sleep better, feel more relaxed before you go to bed, you definitely want to check out that episode that we have coming out next week. And we also have a quiz that is going to show you how you can be more productive right away. So if you're interested in that, go check out theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Thanks again for joining us here today, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.